Thank you, worship team. Good morning. Great to see everybody. Welcome to our service. If you're here for the first time, we especially want to welcome you to our service. It's great to have you as our guest this morning. There's a connection card in the pocket of the seat in front of you. If you'd like to fill that out, if you're a first time or guest, or if you've been here for a little while and never filled one of those out, we just love to be able to connect a name with a face. And also, if you're regular here, you can always use those cards for any kind of questions you might have or wanting to connect to ministry or prayer needs that you or your family have. So use that as you need to. But grab your notes, and while you do that, let me tell you kind of where we're going over the next couple of weeks. Next week, we are going to be introducing you to All Stars. All Stars is what our elementary age kids do downstairs in the other end of the building in their space every Sunday morning. And most of us have no idea what happens down there. I don't even know what happens down there, and I'm the pastor, and because I'm always up here doing things, and I'm never be able to be down there. So Elise Bell, our children's pastor and missions pastor, is going to be doing this next week. And as best we can in this environment, we want to give you a little taste of what happens in All Stars and kind of what that looks like on a weekly basis. So she's going to be teaching. She's also going to be having the kids are going to be helping with part of that service. So if you're in town, make sure you're here for that. It'll be very creative and a lot of fun. So join us for that. And then the next week, Gideon Dean is going to be teaching in my place. And Gideon always does a great job of teaching. If nothing else, he has that great British accent, right? And the jokes seem funny, even if we don't always get them, right? Because it's cultural. But anyway, I pick on him. But I appreciate Gideon and his willingness to serve in this capacity. So if you're here in 2 weeks, you definitely want to be here for that. You will be blessed to do that. And then also I mentioned last week that we've got a team heading to Africa this Thursday. And I'm not going to be able to attend that trip as I had planned. I'll tell you about that towards the end of the service. But I do want you to pray for our group. Chris Todd, who's in the earlier service, is going to be going. This is his first trip to Africa. He's been to other countries and other mission trips, but this is his first trip there. Max Inman is going to be on that trip as well, and he's been there many times, a veteran. And then Regina Millard, who used to attend our church and moved to Oregon last year in retirement, she's coming back and going over. And so they'll be meeting with some of our partners there, our partners at Gospel Centers International, in the first part of the week, and some of the work that we're doing with vulnerable children. They're going to be looking at some of that and auditing some of that work that we support. And then they're going to be heading over to the Tanya Center, which is a special needs school outside of Nairobi that we've been partnering with for a while now, and want to look and see how we might broaden that partnership. So pray for them as they travel. Pray for them this week that they stay well and don't get any of the bugs that are floating around either. So that's where we're heading over the next couple of weeks. Hope you'll be here if you're in town. So grab your notes. Last week we looked at Galatians chapter 5 and at a section commonly known as the fruits of the Spirit. And I said that the fruit of the Spirit, it's God's picture for who we can be. And we talked about, you know, the reason so many of us set New Year's resolutions is because there's something in our lives or something about us that we would like to be different, or we'd like to see changed, or something like that. Well, here's the picture that God gives us through Paul's words in Galatians 5 of the people that we can be. He says, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So today, I want to talk about that last one, self-control. Because I have a feeling if I were to take a poll and have you raise your hands, which don't worry, I'm not going to do that. But if I were to do that, my guess is that of the top three things that we ended up on our list from last week, remember I asked you to look at these nine things and think about what are the top three that you would say you maybe need more of, or you need that in your life in some way. My guess is self-control would end up on most of our top three lists, because we need self-control in every area of our lives, don't we? I mean, we need it in our thought lives, we need it in our emotions, we need it in the words we use, in our relationships, the habits we have. We need self-control with food, with beverages, you name it, and we need self-control. And most of us, if we were being really, really honest, we would say there's at least one area in my life where I could use more self-control. So we're going to look at that today. Now, I've told you many times, and we'll do a little trivia along the way about how well you know me, but I've told you before that one of my favorite comic strips is what? I thought I heard it. Yeah, Peanuts. Yeah, a few of you know me well or have heard me say this before. I love Peanuts, Charlie Brown, Lucy, the whole gang. I love the whole thing. And one of the characters in it is gives me the image that comes to my mind when I think of the idea of lacking self-control in our lives. And the image of lacking self-control, it comes in the character Pigpen. You remember this guy, Pigpen, from Charlie Brown, Charlie Brown's friend, who had this, you know, he always walked through life with this cloud just kind of following him wherever he went. And it was not a good cloud, by the way. It was a stink cloud. It was nasty. It was ugly. And wherever Pigpen went, that cloud just kind of hovered around him and followed him everywhere he would go. And that's what I think of. When I think of the idea of lack of self-control, it's just a stink cloud, and it's nasty, and it's ugly, and it's with us wherever we go. And just like Pigpen couldn't blame that cloud on anybody else except for himself, a lack of self-control is all on us. We can't blame anybody else for it either. And to understand why we struggle with self-control, what we actually have to do is we have to step into that cloud, that ugly, looming cloud, and we have to take a look around. And when we step into that cloud and we take a look around, what we discover is that that cloud is filled with hurt and pain and woundedness. One of the reasons that we lack self-control or struggle with self-control is because we have some deep hurts from our past and in our present. And when anybody has a hurt, what do you want to try to do? Well, when you have a hurt, what you want to do is you want to try to make that hurt go away, don't you? You want to feel better. So what do we do to try to control the pain to make it go away? Well, let me give you this illustration. When you're physically sick, or when you've got some kind of physical pain, or when I'm congested or coughing or achy or something like that, I want to make the pain go away, don't I? So what do? Well, I reach for the medication. And as I've told you before in quiz number two, what is my favorite medication of choice? NyQuil. You do know me well. NyQuil. I love NyQuil. Now, I don't drink a lot of alcohol, but I do drink NyQuil, okay? And I don't know if you know this. There's only two ingredients in it. It's Jack Daniels and food coloring. If you look on the label, you'll see it there. Go home and check it. But it's great. I love NyQuil. I take it. It doesn't make the symptoms go away, but you're just so tired, you just don't care anymore, which is what's so great about it. But here's my point. When I'm hurting, I want to feel better, right? When I'm hurting, I want to feel better. And that principle that's true in my physical world, it's also true in my inner world. And this cloud that brings about pain from my past and my present, I want to make that pain go away. So what I'll do is I'll reach for something to medicate my inner world. And some of us, what we do is we reach for food. And then some of us, we reach for alcohol. Some of us reach for shopping, right? Or working and staying busy and having a busy calendar. And for some of us, it's the words we use, or it's the way we try to control the people in our lives or the circumstances in our lives. Whatever it is to make the pain go away. And these medicators, well, they become our temptations, because when they work so well, it's hard not to want them again, right? I mean, they worked before. I want to feel that way again. So all of a sudden, these medicators, they become our temptations, and we can't control them. So here's what I want to do today. I want us to do just like we did last week. I want us to take a look at the biblical picture of self-control, what God says self-control looks like in our lives. And then I want us to take a look at some of the problems that keep us from having self-control. And then I want us to go after the plan for self-control in our lives. So the biblical picture of what self-control is. The word self-control in the Greek, in Scripture, in the Greek language, it literally means holding oneself in. Or it's this idea of having inner strength. That's what self-control is. And in some of your Bibles, if you use different translations, you go to chapter 5 of Galatians, it doesn't use the word self-control. It actually uses the word temperance in it. And temperance was the idea of retraining our passions or our appetites. And so self-control is this idea, God's picture of self-control in our life, is the idea of being able to hold oneself in. It's having this inner strength in ourselves. It's retraining ourselves to go after things that are healthy as opposed to things that are unhealthy. So the question is, why does God want us to have that? Why is this something that Paul says it ought to be visible in our lives if we're followers of Christ? Well, a couple of reasons. First one is this: self-control, it defends against destruction and temptations. It defends against temptations and destructions. And that makes pretty good sense, doesn't it? And Solomon wrote Proverbs. He wrote a lot of things, but he wrote Proverbs. He was considered the wisest man who lived in his time. And here's what he tells us about it. He says, a person without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. And in the Hebrew language, that word walls, it literally means walls of protection. Walls of protection. You want to protect something. Well, what do you want to protect? You want to protect something of value. What's of value? Your life is of value. So if your life is of value, what do you want to do? You want to build walls of protection around it. You want to surround your life with walls. You want to fortify it. Why? Because when the walls come down is when the temptations and the medicators begin to take over. So what else does the Bible have to say about self-control? Here's something else it says. It says that self-control leads to godliness and to love. And this next passage is a great passage. It's this beautiful cycle of what happens to our faith as our faith matures and we begin to produce these fruits of the Spirit. And here's what it says. Your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. And a life of moral excellence leads to something. It leads to knowing God better. And knowing God better leads to, and here's our word, self-control. And self-control leads to patient endurance. And then patient endurance leads to godliness. There's our other word. And godliness leads to love for other Christians until finally you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. So it's an incredible cycle that goes from faith in God to self-control to godliness to being able to love everyone in our lives. So here's the question. Why don't we have it? I mean, why, if I'm correct, and I think I am on this one, why do so many of us struggle with self-control in some way in our lives? Why do we reach for those medicators? Why do we go to those temptations? Well, let's look at some of the problems, and I'm just going to give you three today. There's a lot of problems that work on this, but I want to give you three, and they kind of go from the easier ones to the more difficult ones, but a few problems that keep us from having self-control. And the first one is this, is that self-control is always on. It's always on, and what I mean by that is we always have to exert self-control, don't we? That we are always using it. We're always using it to control how we think or what we say or what we do. For example, you're sitting here right now during this message, and you're exerting some self-control, aren't you? I mean, you're exerting self-control not to stand up and walk out. Thank you. You're exerting some self-control maybe not to move around or make noise. Again, thank you. And you're exerting self-control not to throw something at me when I say something that you don't like or maybe don't agree with. The self-control switch always has to be on for it to work. Now, why is that a problem? Well, because when something is always on, it can tire out or it can wear out or we can begin to take it for granted. And when that happens, it might not be there when we need it the most. Here's another one. It's always there. And not self-control is always there, but the temptations are always there. The medicators are always there. Think about medication for a second. I mean, we can have access to it anytime we want, right? We've got 24-hour CVSs on just about every corner. And so life becomes like a 24-hour pharmacy. The medications or the temptations, they're there. We can get to them anytime we want to. You tell me what your medicator of choice is in this world, and I can show you how you can get it just about anytime, anywhere you want. For example, let's say it's shopping. Let's say shopping is your gig, and you would say, you know, I can't control my shopping. I like to spend when I'm stressed out, when I'm under pressure. That's what I like to do. That's how I handle stuff in my life. If that's your deal, there's shops everywhere, aren't there? I mean, there's malls everywhere, there's stores everywhere, and when they actually close, you can just go home and order on Amazon, and now, I don't know if you know this, there's something you can order on Amazon, and they will deliver it to your door within 2 hours, so we can have it anytime, anywhere. What about food? I mean, food's a medicator. It's one I struggle with, and this one doesn't seem fair because, I mean, we've got to eat to survive, don't we? So That's just not right. But if food is your gig, then everywhere you go, there's some place to eat. And they market to us, don't they? I mean, the food marketing is so, so great. Late night TV, if you watch it, you see it. But they've got pictures of this food, and it looks so great. It makes you want to order it right away or walk into that restaurant. You see it on the menu. You want it, right? It's delicious looking food, and it's everywhere. I've had to learn how to control my food in my life. It's a roller coaster for me. And I do a pretty good job of eating healthy with one exception, burgers and fries. Hamburgers and French fries, that's my Achilles heel. I'm not talking about fast food like Big Macs and Whoppers. I hate fast food. I'm talking about the good stuff like Five Guys or Foster. And by good stuff, I mean good tasting, not good for you. So don't go and tell people that the pastor said Foster's was good for you. But I do. I could eat a burger and fries every day for lunch. I really think I could do that. And my point is this. You don't have to search very far or work very hard to find the temptations in the world, whatever yours is, because they're everywhere. And then the next problem, and this is the bigger one, is this, that it's deeper than I realize. When it comes to lacking self-control, the reasons and the problems, they're actually deeper than I realize. And most people in our world live at a pretty superficial level. And they pretend like they're in total control. A lot of Christians in our churches, we do this too. And when we live on the surface, you don't really think about self-control that much. And you say things that kind of keep your life on the surface. We say things like, you know, I can handle it. I can take care of this. This is not a big deal. It's not a problem. You know, my issue isn't that bad, or at least it's not as bad as some other people that I know. Right? We'll say things like that, and it keeps us on the surface, and that's denial. Or sometimes we'll say, you know, it's just who I am. You know, it's just who I am. It's just what I do. It's not my problem. It's your problem if you can't handle it. You know, don't judge me, that sort of thing. And it's not just the things we say. It's also the things that we do. When it comes to some of these problems that we have, what we try to do is we try to fix the problem instead of trying to fix ourselves. See if you could track with me on this. I'll pick on shopping again. And instead of saying, you know, I need to fix myself in this area of my life, we say, I'm just going to fix the problem. You know, I'm going to cut up my credit cards. I'm going to freeze my credit cards in a bowl of water and put them in the freezer so I can't get to them. You know, or I'm not going to sales. I'm not going to anything that's on sale. I'm just going to avoid the sales. And you're trying to fix the problem as opposed to fixing what's going on the inner world. We do this with food. We try to fix food and make food work for us. You know, let's just take out all the taste in food and we try to fix food. You know, I'm okay with eating styrofoam rice cakes and cardboard for the rest of my life if that's what it takes. We want food to work for us. That's a superficial level. So that's some of the problems. Let's look at the plan real quick this morning to move towards a life of self-control, this picture that God has for us of inner strength, of temperance. Here's the first thing that I think we need to do. We need to go below the surface. And that makes sense. Because if the problem is deeper than I realize, then we've got to go below the surface to get the help that we need. And let me give you a couple of statements that I think are below the surface statements that'll kind of help us dig a little bit deeper on this. And here's the first one. I'm not a slave. I'm not a slave. That's a below the surface statement. Because in the midst of temptations, when I'm reaching for that medication, whatever it is, to ease the pain in my life, what I need to do instead of is grab onto that phrase that says, I am not a slave. I am not a slave to this. I don't have to be a slave to this. Now, where does that come from? Well, it comes from something that Paul gave us in Romans 6 when he wrote this, when he said, sin is no longer your master. You are no longer subject to the law, which enslaves you in sin. Instead, you are free by God's grace. I'm no longer a slave to sin, and God has given me the authority to win over this in my life. So the next time that cycle kicks in, and you probably know the cycle that I'm talking about. It's the cycle that goes like this. There's the temptation. I'm going to give in to it because I always give in to it. And when I give in to it, I feel failure. And when I fail, then I feel guilty. And then I feel so guilty that I think to myself, I'm never going to get past this. I'm never going to be able to get over this. It's this cycle that beats people down. So before you get into that cycle, just start here and intellectually go, I am not a slave to this. I don't have to give in to this. By God's grace, I can move past this. I mean, think about my temptation, you know, a burger and fries. And you might be wondering, well, is eating a hamburger a sin? And no, eating a hamburger is not a sin unless you're a cow, and then it's kind of weird, I guess. But you know where the sin is? It's gluttony, right? And like I said, I mean, I could consume a burger and fries every day of my life. I really could. And I like to eat to make me feel better sometimes. That's when it becomes a sin. That gluttony, it leads to destruction and pain. It's not healthy. But here's the deal. I'm not a slave to that. I don't have to be a slave to that. For some of you, that thing that is controlling you, you might want to just take a little card and write that phrase down. I am not a slave. And stick that card somewhere where you'll see it. Maybe you stick it in your wallet next to your credit cards. Maybe you put it next to your computer. Maybe you put it in your car on the dash where you see it wherever you are. But you put it wherever you need to be reminded of this theological truth that I am not a slave, that God has given me by His grace the freedom and the power to walk away from that. Now, life's a little bit deeper than a hamburger, so let's go a little bit deeper. Here's the next thing I would say is ask the deep questions. That's taking us a little bit deeper. If the answers are below the surface, then you've got to ask the deep question. Now, here's what most of us want to do with this, though. We want to ask the deep questions, but we want to ask them of other people, don't we? We don't like asking them of ourselves. I'm inviting you to ask the deep question of yourself. For example, if you go to lunch with me after church today and you see me eating my burger and my fries, right? You don't need to come up to me and say, so David, what kind of pain are you trying to fix with that burger and fries, okay? Trust me, I'm not. Burgers and fries at my age actually cause me more pain these days, right? So move on, Holy Spirit, work on your own stuff. Ask the question of yourself. The surface questions I've already given you. The surface question is, you know, how do I fix the problem? The surface question is, you know, how do I fix my credit card or my food or my habit or my whatever? Here's the deep question. What is broken? What is broken inside of me that has me pursuing something, that has me feeling guilty and feeling stuck? What is it that's broken inside of me that has me going after this medicator that has now become my temptation, that is now out of my control? That's the deep question. And by the way, we're all in this, and we've all been there. We've all struggled with approval in some way, whether it's from friends or relationships or in your work, your business, or from wanting to achieve stuff, having the perfect kids, all of that. And some of us have sought to cover over the pain and the hurt from our past by the way we react to others and the way we talk to them or the words that we use. And we've all been in this place where we have something in our lives that is beyond our control, that we can't master, and it keeps us in this cycle of guilt and failure in our lives. But it's all about God's Spirit, as Paul says. It's all about God's love controlling me so that I have this inner strength to control the things in my outer world. And when we get to this one, then the other action steps, they're much easier to take. They just kind of come naturally to us. So here's the second part of the plan, is you've got to invite other people in to help. You've got to invite others to help. Once you go below the surface and you know what you're struggling with and you know what the issues are, then you invite other people along for the ride, because it's going to be a whole lot easier to handle when you've got other people who know what you struggle with. Proverbs 12, again, Solomon tells us, he says, fools think they need no advice, but the wise, they listen to others. And the fact is, I need somebody to help me with the things that I struggle with. To motivate me, to encourage me, to hold me accountable, to ask the difficult questions. I need that, and so do you. And then the third one, it kind of ties it all together. If you want self-control, you've got to give up control. You've got to give up control. Now, that may sound weird, and you might be thinking, does that even make sense? You know, if I want to have more control, how do I give up control? God has some really wonderful, what I would call upside-down principles that He gives us in Scripture. And at first, they don't seem to make sense, but when you look at the total Scripture, they really do work. God says things like, you know, to really live, I have to die. And He says to win, sometimes I have to lose. And to be great, I have to serve. And sometimes to be first, I actually have to be last. And to get self-control, I have to give up some control. Look at this last passage. Paul says, for when I tried to keep the law, I realized I could never earn God's approval. So I died, or I gave up. I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live my life in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So here's how it all ties together, and I'll close with this. When you give up control and God's presence comes in, his Holy Spirit comes in and begins producing these fruits of the Spirit, then his presence brings his approval. And approval brings inner strength. And inner strength brings self-control. And self-control ends up leading us to a fulfilled life, the life that God has for us and wants for us. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, this idea of self-control, it's something that we all struggle with in one way or another. And if we're not struggling with something now, we will be in the future, because we all have hurts and we all have pains that we just want to avoid and we want to get rid of. And so we reach for things that we think will satisfy, and they just don't. So God, I pray that you would help us to take some steps this week, and that we would take some steps to go below the surface, to dig a little bit deeper, and to discover what it really is that's going on in our lives that's causing us to reach for these things. And then God, I pray that we would take some steps to invite some people in to help encourage us with that. I pray that we would trust you and your strength and your power. I pray that we would remember that we don't have to be slaves to this. And then ultimately, I pray that we would give up a level of control and give that control to you. And then as we do that, we would end up living lives that are more fulfilled because we're following you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.